This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد إخواني أخواتي, dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Jathiyah. In Surah Al-Jathiyah, ayah number 18, saying to him, ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها فاتبعها وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يُغْنُوا عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. هذا الآية الثانية 19, هذه بداية هذه الآية, إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا ثم جعلناك على شريعة, ويخاطب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا. So in this ayah, ayah 18 and 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now we have set you, O Muhammad, on the clear way of faith, so follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not know the truth. Then in the next ayah, the beginning of the next ayah, إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يُغْنُوا عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. They will never benefit you in any way against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني مصلحة الإنسان المسلم مع الله سبحانه وتعالى وليست مع البشر. يرضي الله عز وجل ولا يرضي البشر. Last night, it was the night of the middle of Sha'ban. And this is a night that is celebrated in many communities. And some people perform some extra ibadat, acts of worship. And it became a cultural practice in many communities. But it would be beneficial to examine what the ulama, what our ulama have said about the night of the middle of Sha'ban. And when we examine their work, and we go back to the books, the classical books of hadith and tafsir, especially hadith, because the middle of Sha'ban is not mentioned in the Quran, it is mentioned in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama, especially the experts of hadith, their job is to look into this hadith and try to find out if they are authentic, if they are not authentic, what is fabricated, what is weak, what is accepted, what is not accepted. This is their job. So they are divided into two groups. Of course, there before that, we need to confirm that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast most of Sha'ban. So he did not single out the middle of Sha'ban with fasting. His fasting was for most of the month. And in some riwayat that he fasted the whole month of Sha'ban. When it comes to Qiyam al-Layl, he used to perform Qiyam al-Layl every night. This is something to begin with. Some ahadith that are accepted by some Muslim scholars, they said that al-A'mal, our deeds, will be displayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast in the month of Sha'ban, because it was his habit, alayhi salatu wa sallam, his desire to fast when his deeds are displayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be fasting when his deeds are displayed. are shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تُرْفَعُ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ حَسْبْ بَعْضَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. ولكن in general, anything extra beside the fasting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the whole month of Sha'ban. The other ahadith, the ulama are divided into two groups. Some scholars of, when it comes to the middle, the night of the middle of Sha'ban, some Muslim scholars of hadith, they said there is nothing authentic about the excellence of this night. This is one group of Muslim scholars. Nothing authentic in their view, based on their research, based on their conclusion. And it's normal to have two opinions or three opinions. I mean, it's not. This is not only related to Islamic studies. If you look, think about medical field, for example, you talk to different doctors, they will have different views about few things, right? It's normal. It's normal. You talk to a scientist, they will have different opinions about few things here and there. So this is the nature of humans. And everyone will do his research. And then they sometimes reach a conclusion that is different than the conclusion of another group of Muslim scholars. Or scholars in general, in any field. So the first group of Muslim scholars said nothing authentic about the virtues or the excellence of this night, the night of the middle of Sha'ban, which was last night, right? A second group of scholars, they said, yeah, we agree some ahadith are very weak, some ahadith are very fabricated. One of them, which they mentioned, it is fabricated, or in the chain of narration of this hadith, there is one person who is used to fabricate ahadith. So his ahadith are rejected and classified as fabricated. That means they are false. يعني Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not say the hadith. إذا كان النصف من شعبان فصلوا ليلته وصوموا نهاره. When it is in the middle of Sha'ban, then pray at night and fast during the day, which is today, right? So this hadith, the ulama, they said is fabricated. But there are some other ahadith. Some ulama, I'm talking about the second group of scholars, who said there are some ahadith that could be accepted, maqbool, hasan. And actually this ahadith includes a very positive message. And that's why I would like to share them with you. I would like to share this ahadith because they included a very positive message, beautiful message, and because some of our scholars, they said this ahadith could be classified as hasan and maqbool. Because as Muslims, we have to be careful. We do not perform any act of worship unless there is a solid proof. A solid proof for this ibadah. You don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment while doing things you didn't have any proof about. This is deen. And the sources of guidance in our deen are the Qur'an and the sunnah of our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So one of these ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَطَّلِعُ فِي لَيْلَةِ النِّصْفِ مَنْ شَعْبَانِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُشَاحٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ أَوْ مُنَافِقٍ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if this hadith is authentic based on the opinion of those who said it could be accepted, inshallah, classified as hasan, because the meanings are here, they are accepted in our deen. They are major, actually, tenets of faith. One of them is shirk, staying away from shirk, right? And maintaining our tawheed. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon his creation on the night of the middle of Sha'ban, and he forgives all the believers are forgiven, everyone is forgiven, except a mushrik. Who is a mushrik? Someone who associated a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mushrik. He could be an idolater, someone who is doing idol worshipping, or someone who, like in making, it's not necessarily an idol, could be a human being. There are some members of some sects within the ummah, they make sujood to humans, to make sujood to their leaders. This is a well-known fact. Nowadays, we know these things very well. So making sujood to someone else, beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a form of shirk. or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure you, or to give you a job, or to give you, increase your risk. You're asking a human being, a saint who died in his grave, you go to his grave and you ask him to help you. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. A human being cannot help you. He died, he passed away, he's in his grave. So these are, you know, forms of shirk that we need to pay attention to. And the ulama have divided, you know, shirk into two types, major shirk and minor shirk. Now, the second type of people, he said, mushahin, and someone who is bent on hatred. So, people, everyone, the message of this hadith, everyone is forgiven, except two groups of people. Of course, there is a hadith, a narration, a version of this hadith, munafiq. We are familiar with nifaq, we know what it is, I'm not going to talk about it. I would like to focus on these two things, shirk, and also al-mushahana, holding grudges, having negative feelings towards other people. In the community, they could be family members, they could be friends, they could be neighbors, holding grudges and feelings of resentment. This is a big problem. Whenever I talk about this issue in the community, I receive some feedback that people are struggling with this issue. And it's almost in every family, this problem. And it becomes worse when it is within family members. When these things are happening, you know, between family members. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. So, the message of this hadith, again, that everyone is forgiven except two groups of people, those who are committing shirk and those who are holding grudges against others, and mainly without a valid reason. Now, what are the types of shirk? As I said, there is major type of shirk, and with a major type of shirk, a person is not Muslim if he commits a major type of shirk. And on the Day of Judgment, this type of shirk will not be forgiven. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Two ayat in Surah An-Nisa, 36 and 116. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive shirk. But we have to be careful on the Day of Judgment, not in dunya. If someone commits shirk in dunya and he makes tawbah, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. This is the feedback that I received from a brother who attends Jum'ah prayer, but this is the understanding that he got. We need to pay attention, ya akhwan, we need to learn our deen. And this person was very depressed because the message he received, he said, I committed shirk in my life when I was young. Now the message that I received from the khutbah, that Allah will never forgive shirk, that means I will never be forgiven on the Day of Judgment. I said, now you changed, alhamdulillah, you are a better person, a better Muslim. You're trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your deen. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So as long as a person makes tawbah in this life, he will be forgiven even if it is an act of shirk. But if he meets Allah while committing shirk, a major type of shirk, then this is a problem. This is a big problem. The other, and this is something that many people are aware of nowadays. We don't have many people now who go to these, you know, these shrines and they do tawaf around these dead people. I know members of some sects, they're still doing that. But most of the members of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there is some sort of awareness now. They don't practice these kind of things. They don't go to a dead person and ask him for help and make dua for them or make sujood for them. Alhamdulillah. But there are the minor types of shirk. They don't make a person a kafir, but they are major sins. Major sins. One of them is a riya. What is a riya? Is doing things for the sake of fame. Doing things that are ibadat, that are acts of ibadah. They are supposed to be dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do them to seek the pleasure of other people, to please other people, to have a status in the community, to have a name in the community. So this is called hidden shirk or riya, showing off. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn the ummah about it. In a famous hadith, he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا هُوَ أَخْوَفُ عليكم بما هو أخوف عليكم عندي من المسيح الدجال قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال الرياء يقوم الرجل ليصلي فيزين صلاته. هذا مثال ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن تطبق المثال على جميع الأشياء، الصدقات وعلى الأعمال، الحج، عمرة، كل شيء. قال فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر الرجل إليه. هذا مثال ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He told them, shall I not inform you about something that I fear for you more than الدجال، المسيح الدجال. المسيح الدجال is a big problem. When he appears, people will be in trouble. Right? Is one of the major signs of the day of judgment. صلى الله السلامة والعافية. But رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I fear for you. There is another problem that I fear for you more than المسيح الدجال. So they said, بلى يا رسول الله, tell us. Sure, O Messenger of Allah, tell us what it is. And he said, الرياء, hidden shirk. A man stands for prayer and he beautifies his prayer when he feels that other people are looking at him. This is an example that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided to mention, but you can apply this example to all our deeds. So it is something good that we try to purify our intention, be sincere. Yani the word sincere or sincerity is a very positive term. Everyone likes it. So when you like to be sincere, this is a good sign. When you hate to do things to please other people, this is a good sign when you have this hatred. When you care about your tawheed and you like to purify your tawheed, this is something beautiful. The other types of minor shirk is, and this is very common in our communities, swearing by other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or making an oath by other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is wuhiyat al-Nabi. People make an oath by the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love him, but he's a human being, and we're not allowed. He himself, he said, من حلف بغير الله فقد أشرك. من حلف بغير الله فقد أشرك. Whoever makes an oath by other than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has committed an act of shirk. But it is a minor act of shirk. It doesn't make you leave Islam, but it is a major sin. We need to pay attention to it. The other thing that is very common in our communities is carrying amulets, pieces of jewelry, or booklets written by some musha'widin, some fortune tellers. They write for them books, small books with symbols and numbers, and they tell them that this booklet will protect you against evil eye, will help you to get a job, you will have complete protection. Complete protection only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our aqidah, this is our deen. So carrying these amulets, and it could be a small piece of jewelry, something called, they call it al-kharza, al-zarqa, the blue piece of jewelry, they buy it. I mean, if you Google it, you'll find it, but of course, you're not supposed to use it, we're not supposed to come close to these things. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, يا أخي, recite the morning and evening supplications. Recite the dua when you leave your house. Place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, fully protected. So it is a nice reminder from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe if this hadith is sahih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to prepare us for Ramadan. Prepare yourself by purifying your tawheed and also purifying your hearts from grudges, from negative feelings towards other people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So again, anyone who wants to earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Sha'ban before Ramadan comes, it's a good way to prepare ourselves for Ramadan. And if you want to take this message seriously, we need to look at our feelings, as I said, and the grudges that we have towards other people. I know it is a big challenge based on the discussion that I had with many community members. It's a big challenge. Some other people, they tell me, I cannot forgive them. They hurt my dad, they hurt my mom, they hurt our family. They attacked our dignity and honor. They did this and this and this. I mean, but if it is an old issue that happened 20 years, well, maybe your grudges are not justified. Sometimes it is not justified because it is a sort based on miscommunication. I cannot talk to them. Whenever I talk to this person, he has a different opinion. He disagrees with me. The right to disagree, it should be preserved. You should give the right to anyone to disagree with you. Yes, everyone likes to be respected. When we disagree about something, you disagree with respect. With respect. Right? We always have to respect each other. But we have the right. I have the right to have a different opinion. So disagreeing with you, having a different opinion, it doesn't mean that I don't respect you. So sometimes it is a matter of, and sometimes it is between parents and their own children. They don't know how to communicate with each other. The father does not want anyone to tell him no. Well, I disagree with you, Baba. I disagree with you, Mama. I mean, this is not healthy, Ikhwan. This is not healthy. I mean, if they disagree with you and doing something haram, of course you have to tell them and you have to talk to them and you have to tell them you are wrong, you're doing something wrong. But if it is something about politics, wallahi, I know a group of people, they're not Syrians, but when there was this revolution taking place against the Syrian leader, Bashar al-Assad, they had a disagreement about Bashar al-Assad. Some of them were supporting him and the other group were against him. And they had a disagreement within their family member. They stopped talking to each other and they are not even Syrians. How crazy is that? To disagree about someone, يعني عند رب العالمين يمكن ما يسواش بصلة. He has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhalim, a dictator who killed many people. And on the day of judgment, he will stand, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes tawbah, that's a different story. We don't interfere between Allah and His creation, what will happen to Him on the Day of Judgment. Now we're talking about what we have seen in this life. But this is just an example. Sometimes we talk about politics, for example. In one country that is suffering, one group is within the same family supporting this party, the other group supporting this party, and then we'll have disagreement. And they stop talking to each other because of their disagreement. And you are from one country, the country is suffering, your community is suffering, and you're disagreeing. You are not, at least you disagree with respect. Keep the brotherhood. Keep the brotherhood. There are some people who told me that we tried our best to solve the problem. We knocked the door. We tried to call. They don't want to talk. They don't want to open up. They don't want to receive us in their house. I'll tell you something. Then you are better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your status is higher and better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're trying your best to solve the issue. Yes, you are human and you cannot keep doing maybe this for a long period of time, but at least Allah knows that you tried, if you tried your best. So, al-mushahin, min al-mushahin huna, the other party is al-mushahin. You are not mushahin. The hadith said, mushahin, someone who is holding grudges. This is a sign that you are not holding grudges. You're trying. You're making some steps. Trying to call during Eid, during Ramadan. Could be your cousin, could be your friend, could be, as I said, could be a parent, could be a neighbor, could be you trying. Making some extra step for the sake of Allah. You're not mushahin. The other person who is refusing. And sometimes refusing for nothing. For something that is not worthy, ikhwan, nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ni wafiqana li kulli khair. The conclusion about the middle of Sha'ban, there is no proof in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should single out, single out the night of Sha'ban with extra prayers or fast on the day of, in the middle of Sha'ban by itself. But if you fast 13th, 14th, 15th, that's a beautiful sunnah. These are the fasting of the white days, al-ayyam al-bayth. This is a sunnah that is confirmed. Yani here we have something that all the ulama agreed, and they said the ahadith are sahiha, authentic, that it is sunnah to fast on 13th, 14th, and 15th. And 15th is the middle of Sha'ban. But if you single out the middle of Sha'ban with extra acts of worship, or you come together as a family, you celebrate and you bring food and it becomes a celebration, then you are doing something that has no basis in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do it. The sahaba radiallahu anhum did not do it. And a reminder I would like to remind myself and my brothers with the same ayah that I began with my started my khutbah with in Surah Al-Jathiyah, ayah 18. ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا. And now we have set you, O Muhammad, on the clear way, the clear path of faith. So follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not know the truth. إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا. Verily, they will not help you with anything against Allah. They will not benefit you in any way against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يفتح لنا أبواب رحمته. اللهم اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم ارحم ضعفنا واجبر كسرنا ويسر أمرنا. ردنا جميعا إلى كتابك وسنة نبيك عليه الصلاة والسلام. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. والحمد لله رب العالمين.